having struggled with, not struggled, having coped with Newtonian mechanics for the whole of my teaching career, I struggle now a little bit with the uncertainty principle, but mostly with dark matter. Do you have a place for dark matter in your grand scheme of things?
Wow.
Philip Pullman, isn't it?
Yes, I do have a place of dark matter in the grand scheme of things. Dark matter... Let's start off with non-dark matter for people who might not know what dark matter is. The matter that we can see in the universe, most of it... what we can see is the visible stuff, which are the stars and the galaxies and so forth. But we can be fairly certain that that's only a relatively small fraction of the other matter that's out there. One of the ways we can tell that is when you look at the way galaxies spin, if you know how fast a star is going around in a galaxy, which is actually quite fast, but they're enormous, so they take a huge amount of time to get round, but you can work out from physics how much matter there is sort of inside the orbit of that star around the middle of a galaxy, because you know how fast it's being pulled towards the middle, how hard it's being pulled towards the middle from gravity. And if you work out how much gravity all the stars should produce, it doesn't add up to anything near enough to make the galaxies spin as fast as they are. So there's a lot of other stuff there, and we just don't know what it is. So we call it dark matter, which is a scientist's term for don't know yet. We know it's there, we don't know what it is. Wait for the next generation of scientists to come along and come up with some good theories. But we frankly don't know. It's one of the exciting things in science is there's so many things we don't know. And the more we discover, the more we discover that we don't know. So, yes, we know dark matter's there. It's certainly real. What it is, I don't know. There's also dark energy, by the way, which is much more abundant than even dark matter. Dark energy does the opposite sort of things. Where dark matter produces gravity and causes things just to fall inwards, dark energy is some form of force in the universe that's forcing things apart, and it's actually causing the universe to expand. You may know, you know, the theory that, you know, the universe, it began in a Big Bang, and it's expanding outwards. And we sort of expected that the gravity in the universe would slow that expansion down. And eventually it might have stopped. And if it ever did stop, gravity would then start to pull it all back in again. And the universe would have ended in what's called a big crunch, sort of the opposite of a big bang, which is a pretty gruesome place to be. As it turns out, recent observations have suggested that the universe is not slowing down in its expansion. It's actually accelerating a bit. So it's getting faster and faster. Something is pushing the universe outwards. And we haven't the faintest idea what that is. So we call it dark energy. It's another duh, we don't know what it is. But it's certainly there. Something is causing the universe to accelerate faster and faster outwards. So almost certainly it won't end in a big crunch. It'll end in sort of just expanding outwards more and more and more until everything gets so diffuse and sort of cold and what have you that it all sort of falls to death in what's called heat death. That is to say, you know, it's sort of the cosmological scale of every battery goes flat and every cup of tea goes cold and the whole universe will go cold and that will sort of be it. But it will just carry on getting bigger and bigger and colder forever and ever and ever. Just a second.
In your answer to that question, you use the answer, I don't know, a lot. Yet when you were actually taking us through the argument, you seem to reduce the reasoning down to two things, which was God and the laws of science. And I was thinking at that time, shouldn't there be a third one there, which is don't know? Because what we do know about the laws of science is that they're changing and changing and changing. And as time goes on, they seem to get more exponentially more complicated. So the idea that we're filling in the gaps seems to be wrong, because the gaps we create seem to get bigger all the time as science moves forward. So your argument seemed to be it was either God or it was the laws of science, and it didn't seem to leave room for anything else, yet there is so much we don't know.
Thank you, yes. I mean, that's actually quite a powerful critique of what I've been saying. If I could reformulate what I'm saying, I suppose what I would be putting forward is either what explains everything is a natural principle or it's a supernatural principle. And I think that's probably more of a better way to sort of show that inclusively. Either there is some natural principle, some ultimate natural force in above the universe, not just in the universe, because what we're trying to explain is the universe, but some natural principle, a force above the universe that is utterly simple, that just is, that causes everything else. Or else there is some supernatural principle, which then we would think of in terms of, if you like, God. So I'm using God in a very wide sense. I wouldn't want to identify the God that we've discovered yet with the God of Christianity or Judeo-Christianity or anything else. So at the moment, it's really just the God of the philosophers, a something that is the first cause of the universe. I think we can argue with legitimate certainty that there is a something that explains the universe, that causes the universe. And even Richard Dawkins is with us at that far. The question, now, really what I've tried to do today is you know, about an hour's worth of getting us to the point where we're confident to say there's a something. And that something isn't just the universe. It's something above, beyond, beneath, before, whatever, but something distinct from the universe. Because the universe obeys those laws of science, the universe is not self-explanatory. It's something that we legitimately question in science and say, what's that all about? Where does that come from? How does that work as a whole thing? So there's something outside. And then really what I want to try and do next week is just to decide one more question. Is that something impersonal or in some sense personal? I don't mean human, but is it in some sense knowing, intelligent, having intentions of what it makes? Or is it just a blind force? And if we can get that far, I think we've come an awfully long way. But I would agree with you completely that there are all sorts of I don't knows mixed in with that. But I hope one of them isn't, is there a first cause? I think the answer to that is yes. If we take science seriously, we are doing the sorts of things of saying, this needs explaining, therefore there must be a something that does the explaining, even if we can't yet put our finger on precisely what that is.
You assert that phenomenon in the universe have a cause. How does this fit in with chaos theory, which suggests that sometimes a starting point of a phenomenon cannot be measured?
Thank you. Chaos theory doesn't actually say things don't have a cause, but it says that the causes are so small that we can't ever track them down completely. So I don't know whether you're all familiar with chaos. It's the sort of thing that you've probably heard of, the butterfly effect, that idea that, you know, a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil one day and, you know, a couple of weeks later there's an enormous tropical storm on the other side of the world. That tiny little effects can be magnified enormously, and that's why it's so difficult to predict the weather. And, you know, the weather forecasters, you know, can usually get a fairly decent job done over the next 2 or 3 days if you're lucky. But if you ask them what's the weather going to be in a couple of months' time, they frankly haven't got a clue. Because the system is so finely balanced that a tiny difference can have a massive effect in the outcome. But the point of chaos theory is that there is a cause. You know, there is a butterfly that flaps its wing, or a flea that has a sneeze or whatever it might happen to be. Something is triggering it. It's just so small that we can't hope to measure it. To make things even more complicated, if you go to quantum mechanics, it depends how you interpret that. Some theories of quantum mechanics say that events happen actually at random, really at random, without any cause at all. But that's only one interpretation. Other interpretations of quantum mechanics say that whilst we can't necessarily trace the causes, there are causes there. And for philosophical reasons, I would want to advocate those theories that say things have causes, rather than the interpretations of quantum mechanics that say events are truly random. And I don't just do that as a theologian or as a priest. I also do that as a scientist. That in the end, I think, if we say that events in the physical world happen at random, that's tantamount to saying, I give up on science. I can't explain the physical world around us. And whilst it's possible to hang on to interpretations of the world where there are causes of things, that's where I'm going to put my money. But there are, you know, you'll find other scientists who disagree with me on that one.
Do you think there's a possibility there's another dimension that mankind cannot comprehend or understand, and that dimension could answer a lot of religious questions?
Right. Are there more dimensions than we're aware of? Probably, yes. At least there are a number of modern scientific theories suggest that as well as the three dimensions that we're familiar with, there may be many other dimensions, but they won't be big like the dimensions that the three dimensions we can see. They'll be actually very small. So small that they're much smaller than an atom, so we don't notice them. They're there, and if you were the size of an electron, you'd see it. But because you're so much bigger than they are, we just don't notice that they're there.
We go from the universe to be contained in that.
No, I think if there were higher dimensions that the universe is contained in, we'd be able to see them, I think.
But we couldn't comprehend it.
Maybe not.
A two-dimensional.
It's possible, but I think if something exists in three macro-dimensional space, then anything actually in that will, in some sense, have a third dimension, will be aware of the third dimension. I could be wrong on that one. However, where I would differ with you is I don't think that's going to solve religious questions, because I think religious questions are distinct from the physical questions of dimensions. I think so. I wouldn't want to interpret, say, another dimension as a divine dimension or a spiritual dimension. I think that's probably using metaphorical language. And I think spiritual aspects of life are more to do with personal freedom than to do with extra bits of physics that we don't yet know. But
anybody else? Okay. Father Stephen, thank you.
Not at all, thank you.
Awesome.